Thank you, Tess. What a wonderful day this is. Let me pray for us as we prepare to look at this passage together. Father, thank you for Easter. Thank you for Jesus and his death and resurrection and this time again to celebrate and rejoice in the truth of it. Please speak through your word now by your spirit and help us to enjoy Jesus this Easter. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, many of us know what it's like to feel doubt, to be unsure of what to believe. Others of us carry grief. Perhaps things haven't turned out in life the way that we would have hoped. Some of us carry fear. Perhaps we might be uncertain about the future and what's going to come next. John chapter 20 shows us that it's right there in doubt, grief, and fear that the risen Jesus meets us. And that matters for our baptisms tonight, because baptism is a response to Jesus, to who he is and to what he offers. So as we have a look at this passage, we'll see three invitations that the risen Jesus has, starting with, in your doubt, see and believe. Now, just a couple of days after Jesus' crucifixion, John opens chapter 20 with Mary Magdalene going to the tomb, and she sees that the stone has been removed. She runs back and tells Simon Peter and the other disciple, that's John, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they have put him. She's seen something, but she doesn't yet understand it. Then Peter and John run to the tomb, and I think comedically, John can't resist telling us that he outran Peter to get there. Peter goes into the tomb and sees the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head, still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Now, just as a side note, this seems to suggest that Jesus' body wasn't stolen. Grave robbers wouldn't unwrap a body or carefully leave the clothes behind. Then we see that John goes inside, and we're told that he saw and believed. Not because everything made sense yet. In the very next verse, we're told that the disciples still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. But he saw and believed because the empty tomb pointed to the simple reality that Jesus was not there. This theme of seeing and believing runs through this whole chapter. Mary sees Jesus for herself and goes to the disciples in verse 18, saying, "I have seen the Lord." And it's striking that Mary is the one to have this encounter with Jesus. In a culture where a woman's testimony wasn't highly valued, Jesus chooses her as the first witness of the resurrection and the first to announce the greatest news. And again, just as a side note, adds credibility to John's account. Then later, the disciples say to Thomas in verse 25, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas isn't quite there yet, though. He says, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, I will not believe." And notice what Jesus does. He meets Thomas in his doubt. He says, "Put your finger here, see my hands, stop doubting and believe." And Thomas responds with one of the clearest confessions in the Gospels, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus says to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That's us. We weren't at the tomb. We weren't in the room where it happened. But John tells us that's why he wrote this. these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So the call is simple. In your doubt, see what the witnesses saw. Hear what they testified and believe, because Jesus is alive. Now, none of us were there for many of the events we believe in, things like court cases or historical events, perhaps even things that happened this week. And yet we believe them because of witnesses. Multiple people saying, this is what I saw. And that's exactly what's happening in John 20. Mary says, I have seen the Lord. The disciples say, we have seen the Lord. And then John writes it down so that we might believe. Now, for some of you, especially if you're here tonight as a friend or a family member of those getting baptized, you may still be unsure what to make of Jesus. But I really encourage you not to stay at a distance. Have a look at the evidence. Listen to the witnesses. John has written this so that you might believe. And for others here, maybe you've grown up around church. Maybe you know the story. And perhaps you're still holding Jesus at arm's length. Like Thomas, maybe saying, I'll believe when I'm sure. Yet Jesus meets you there and says, come and see. Stop doubting and believe. And for you, Gracie and Whitney, along with Ira, this is exactly what you're doing. You're not claiming to have everything figured out. You're saying, I have seen enough to trust him. You're stepping out of doubt and putting your faith in the risen Jesus. And as your church family, we're not just watching, we're part of it. We're a community of witnesses saying together, we have seen the Lord. So whether you're taking that step today or considering it for the first time, here's the call. In your doubt, see what God has shown you in Jesus and believe. But John doesn't stop at belief. Meeting the risen Jesus isn't just about seeing that he's alive. It's about knowing that he knows you. And that brings us to our second invitation. In your grief, be called by name into joyful belonging. In verse 11, Mary is standing outside the tomb crying. And twice she's asked the same question, first by the angels and then by Jesus himself. Woman, why are you crying? Now, it's not that her grief is wrong, but there's something she hasn't yet understood. We're told that she sees Jesus standing there, but she doesn't realise it's him. She even thinks it's the gardener. But then, Jesus simply says her name, Mary. Suddenly, she recognises him and cries out, Rabboni, which means teacher. I wonder if you've ever been in a crowded place with lots of noise and you suddenly hear someone call your name and instantly you know who it is. You might not have seen them yet, but you just recognise the voice. Everything else fades and you just turn. And that's what happens to Mary. She sees Jesus, but she doesn't recognise him. Then he calls her name, Mary. And everything changes. Jesus then gives her these extraordinary words in verse 17. I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. In other words, because Jesus is risen, his relationship with the Father becomes our relationship. His Father becomes our Father. And in just a few moments, as we hear from those getting baptized, we'll hear how the risen Jesus has done exactly this, calling people personally by name and giving them a new sense of identity and belonging. And we see the effect of that belonging a few verses later in our passage. When Jesus appears to the disciples, verse 20 tells us that they were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Their grief gives way to joy as they see the risen Jesus. And we see this same movement with Thomas, who confesses in verse 28, "My Lord and my God." Not just the Lord, but my Lord. That's the movement from grief to being called by name to joyfully belonging to God. So what does that mean for us? It means that Jesus doesn't just meet us with evidence. He meets us personally. He knows our names. Maybe you're carrying grief, loss, disappointment that things haven't turned out the way you would have hoped. Perhaps, like Mary, you might even be looking straight at Jesus and not recognising him in the middle of your situation. And yet the risen Jesus is not distant. He comes close and he calls you by name. Gracie, Whitney, Ira. And for you three getting baptised, this is what baptism points to. Not just that you believe in Jesus, but that you belong to him. That he calls you by name. That his Father is now your Father. And for all of us here, whether you've been following Jesus for years or you're just here supporting someone today, wherever you're at, even if you're in grief, you don't have to be anonymous. Hear Jesus call your name, because in him you can be known and joyfully his. But the story doesn't stop with believing and belonging. The risen Jesus doesn't just call us to himself. He sends us out, no longer in fear, but in the peace and power of his Spirit. And this brings us to the third and final invitation. In your fear, receive his peace, Spirit, and sending. In verse 19, we read that the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. They've heard the news, but they're still afraid. They're hiding, they're uncertain, they're unsure of what's going to happen next. And it's into that fear that Jesus comes and stands among them and says, "Peace be with you." Not once, but three times in this chapter. Now, this is not just a greeting. This is resurrection peace. The war between us and God is over. Sin has been defeated in Jesus' death and resurrection. And to prove it, in verse 20, Jesus shows them his hands and side. The wounds are still there, but now they're proof of forgiveness, not defeat. Then Jesus says something remarkable in verse 21. "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Then he breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Just as God breathed life into humanity in the beginning, now the risen Jesus breathes life into his people. This is new life, new creation. And with that comes a mission to proclaim forgiveness in his name. Have a think about walking into something that feels intimidating, perhaps a new job or a difficult conversation or a hospital appointment. Doing that kind of thing alone can feel pretty overwhelming. But if someone that you trust is with you, it changes everything. The situation hasn't changed, but you're not alone anymore. And that's what Jesus gives his disciples. Not just instructions, but a mission with his presence and peace through his Spirit. Fear can look different for each of us. For some, we're anxious about the future, or perhaps we're uncertain about what following Jesus might cost us. For others, we're hesitant to speak about our faith or to live differently in our workplace or among our friends. And into that, the risen Jesus still comes and says, "Peace be with you." Through his death and resurrection, we are at peace with God, and he doesn't send us out on our own. The same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead now lives in his people, giving us courage for what he calls us to. And for you, Gracie, Whitney, and Ira, this is part of what you're stepping into. Not just forgiveness and belonging, but a new life empowered by God's Spirit and encouraged by fellow believers. So for all of us here tonight, let's not stay in fear. Let's receive Jesus' peace and Spirit and be sent into the world to share the gospel. The gospel is not meant to stay in a locked room, and God's Spirit makes sure that it doesn't. And in baptism, in a moment, that's exactly what we'll be praying, that Gracie, Whitney, and Ira would die to sin and rise to new life by the power of the Holy Spirit. So in John chapter 20, Jesus holds out three invitations grounded in his death and resurrection. In your doubt, see and believe. In your grief, I know your name. Come and joyfully belong. In your fear, peace be with you. Receive my Spirit. I am sending you. Now, these invitations are not just for the first disciples, they're for us today. Jesus meets us where we are, in our doubt, in our grief, in our fear, and he calls us forward. How will you respond to him? If you're still unsure what to make of Jesus, I would really love for you to come and chat with me after the service. I'll just be out in the foyer. And I have some copies of this little book, The Reason for Easter. It looks at the evidence for Jesus' resurrection, and then it explores what that means and why it matters. So these are free, so please come and chat to me if you'd like one. Tonight, Gracie and Whitney, along with Ira, are responding to the risen Lord Jesus with a bold, "I believe, I belong, I will follow." And as their church family, we rejoice and we walk with them. Let me pray. Father, thank you that Jesus is risen. Thank you for the gift of baptism and the opportunity to celebrate these people taking this next step in faith and declaring that they are followers of Jesus. May your Spirit continue to be powerfully at work in all of our lives. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.